stars to see you in the places we would go, like your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you and I were like this summer, but now it's winter here on my own.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to A Pathway to Healing. Here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio, we want to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's cold, it's snowy, but guess what? We're here and we're glad that you are joining us. We have special guests today here from the Philadelphia Obituary Project. We have Mr. Albert Stumm, who is the executive director. Mr. Stumm is pleasantly living in Spain. I wish I could be in Spain, but he is on the line today. We thank you for joining us, Mr. Stumm. And we also have Miss Kimberly Kamara with us, who lives here in Philadelphia. She's braving the cold weather with us, and we thank you for joining us today as well. Mr. Stumm, I want you to go ahead and open up and just kind of, well, I've already introduced you, but just talk about Philadelphia mm-hmm. Obituary Project and what it is you do.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. And thanks for having us on the show. I did live in Philadelphia for 16 years. So before moving here. So I'm deeply embedded in Philadelphia. My parents grew up here in West Philly as well. And I got involved in the project years ago because the Obituary Project is a nonprofit organization that does positive stories about the victims of homicide. And we focus on the victims because basically our founder is a man named Cletus Lyman. He's a Center City lawyer who works in civil practice. And he approached me saying, hey, there's this big problem in Philadelphia with the, you know, I there's never any follow-up on anything that I read about in the news. There's so many people who are affected by gun violence, and we know nothing about these people. You know, and the way that the media works in most places, but in Philadelphia as well, is that there's a lot of victim blaming that goes on there. You know, there's not a lot of discussion about who the people were. It's about what happened. It's about why, you know, where it happened, and that's all you get. You don't know anything about anyone's lives. So, in 2017 was when we launched the website, and since then we've done over 300 stories about victims. Yeah, the intention is just to kind of put faces with people and lives with these statistics, so that way, because as we all know, they're not statistics; they were people with families and hopes and dreams and, you know, funny stories that happened to them and all kinds of things and families and children and that's what we focus on to keep these memories alive.
That's excellent. That's excellent, and I really appreciate that information. You know, before we go to Ms. Kamara, I was going through the Obituary Project website or looking at some of the listings, and one of the things that you see very common is if you have any information. How has that mm-hmm. impacted your organization and even personally because of what you do? How does that make you feel? It seems like a lot of these murders go unsolved, or homicides go unsolved. Mm-hmm. Nobody's stepping forward. Is that a big part of your work as well?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a couple of pillars that we're dealing with here. One is providing some solace to the families, and you know, but then this other element of it, I don't know what the statistics are and what the homicide clearance rate is now, but we do know that there are so many unsolved homicides. So by doing these stories, sometimes it could be years later, we are bringing attention to the story again. So that way, if somebody does have any information and they can come forward to police, One of the things that we do is that besides publishing the stories on our website, we also have on social media, on Instagram, phillyobitproject.com, and on Facebook as well. On or near the anniversary of their death, we always repost the stories so that way we can keep the conversation going because, you know, often, you know, there are so many incidents like this that happen that, you know, that it's the big discussion of the neighborhood for a couple of weeks and people are bringing casseroles over and people are bringing, you know, there's this grieving period for the entire neighborhood. And then another event happens and then a lot of people end up moving on, unfortunately. But obviously many times the crime hasn't even been solved yet. And of course then the family is grieving forever. Right. So, yeah, that's a big portion of it all is that the idea is to solve some of these crimes because, you know, the people don't come forward. And so at the bottom of every unsolved story, we always put a reminder. We put a list of resources for the families who, if they're looking for help, we have some resources on our website as well, some organizations that they can connect with. Mm-hmm. And then also a reminder that that there are rewards for people who come forward with information. I mean, there's $20,000 for information that leads to arrest and a homicide. And that's not something that people think about. So we try to keep attention on the cases for as much as we can, because that'll go a long way in terms of making an impact on this problem.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for all that you do. Mm-hmm. Ms. Kamara, we want to welcome you back. You're not new to this, and we thank you for joining us again today. With Philadelphia Obituary Project, why don't you tell us very quickly, not very quickly, but just tell us how you came about to join this organization.
Hi. So I was on Facebook and a young lady kept inboxing me to do an article on my son. And I'm like, I don't know this lady. Who is she? Why is she bothering me? So I ignored it And one day she inboxed me again, and I was like, let me call her because she's persistent. So she did Naeem's article, and she kept on. We became Facebook friends,
okay.
And she loved what I was putting on Facebook. Good. And then she approached me with an idea to bring me on as a columnist.
All right.
And it was once a month I would write how I felt as a mother losing a child.
Okay. Do you, with Philadelphia Obituary Project, I know with me and being with Central Philadelphia Parents of Murdered Children, I noticed you specified mother. Do you find a lot of men need to get involved more?
Absolutely. We need the men. Okay. And I'm going to be honest. Everybody cries, but it's very rare that you see men cry. Mm-hmm. It's very rare you see men express their feelings. And we need to see that. As well as it might change the way a child is thinking. Mm-hmm. It may deter another murder. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference than where you society is used to seeing women crying and women emotional.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that I've always talked about is when a murder takes place and, you know, the news media or whoever comes to the house, mm-hmm. the first person they look for is a mother. Mm-hmm. And nobody says, where's dad? Mm-hmm. You know, and men end up holding all of this inside. And unfortunately, it comes out at the wrong time. We understand that Philadelphia Obituary Project has a new project coming out. And we want to introduce that project today on the show. Very briefly, before we do that, just give me a brief history on Naeem.
Naeem was a 23-year-old young man just starting out his manhood life, mm-hmm. six-month-old baby, new father, first child. And his life was cut short. Well, he was shot on 4th of July, and he died on July 5th, 2017. His murder is still unsolved, although they do have the person in custody. Mm-hmm. He has not yet admitted
to doing it.
And it bothers me because I feel like if you did just admit to it, and he's in jail for other murders as well.
Wow.
So.
Well, I want to thank you for being here, and I know it's not easy. I know even for me, losing my daughter, to keep reliving is over and over and over again. It's not easy. But you've turned a lot of the negative into good things, and you're helping people along the way. So I applaud you for that. And Mr. Stum, I applaud you as well for what you're doing with Philadelphia Obituary Project. And while we're on that note, why don't you go ahead and introduce this new program that you have coming out?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. The program is called What Writing Heals. I actually credit Kimberly for giving me this idea because, Kimberly started off as a columnist. She was invited on by our last executive director, a woman named Jennifer Lawson, who really connected with us with a lot of the survivors community in Philadelphia. So Kimberly was writing about her personal experience for a long time. And then, we realized that we were kind of a lot of people. We were a lot of the people who were involved in the project from the beginning were a lot of people who were kind of from the outside, trying to do what they could, but not being most directly affected by the problem. And so, I asked Kimberly to come on as a writer to write other stories about other victims as well. Because I thought, you know what, this actually talk about a better perspective to have someone who knows what's going on, who knows what the families are going through, who are actually going to be interviewing and doing the stories. And so Writing Heals is an extension of that, you know, kind of pilot, I guess. Now Kimberly has been writing for us for all the other kinds of stories, obituaries for us as well for a couple of years now. And Writing Heals, well, what we're going to do is we're recruiting the relatives of victims to basically have them write the stories of their loved ones. Okay. So the way that the program works is that we're doing an open call. Actually, the sign-up sheet is the sign-up form. There's a post already on the website. We're officially launching it on Monday on Martin Luther King Day, but your listeners can go ahead and sign up now. Any relative who has of a person who has been murdered. We'll ask them to attend a one of three virtual training sessions. So that way we can, I will be doing the trainings and I'll train people on how to interview their family members and how to put together that kind of story that is, it's a narrative that is focused on the victim. All participants will be paid for their work because we believe in making sure that anyone who is doing any work is always paid. So, anyone who participates, and turns in a story that we end up publishing will be paid $200.
Wow.
Okay. These things take time. It takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes, time is valuable. And, you know, we have a stable of freelancers who are absolutely wonderful. But that's our freelance rate. That's what we're paying, sort of trained journalists, quote unquote, to pay, for the stories. So I wouldn't even think of paying anything less for people who, if we're going to be publishing this content. So that's one element of it, a participant will be able to write about their own relative. But then should they choose to continue, then they can become a regular freelancer and then write about other people who come forward to us. Because now the way we work now is that it's all word of mouth. I mean, there's a tip sheet, there's a tip, thing on the website. People come to us and say, like, can you please write about my relative? Now those people can come forward and say, I want to participate in this program and I want to be the one who writes about so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And so then that person can continue on and writing about other victims, because the intention of this, besides getting ourselves more embedded in the community that's most affected, is also because we want to be able to write about as many people as we can. That's the that's the intention. You know, we've done over 300 stories, but there have, I saw on the website today that there are over 3,000 people represented on the website that have kind of just like a blank placeholder page, because we're hoping that somebody comes forward about that person.
So
10% is just a drop in the bucket. Yeah.
So
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. So when you pick somebody to write, or they say, I want to write, I guess this involves a lot of investigation and things on their part. Is it that in depth where they, you know, as a writer, and I want to write about Kimberly's son, and I would speak to her and gather information and get all the stuff I need before I begin writing. So there's a lot involved here, is what you're saying, basically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, and so step one would be to use you as an example. Step one would be you deciding to write about your daughter, and then you go to your family members and your and her friends and ask their memories.
Okay.
How do they remember your daughter? There's obviously, because it is a story about a person, we need to have some basic information, you know, where they grew up, where they went to school, some kind of general, there's a list of things that we like to include in every story. But then the idea is, you know, to kind of opening up and saying, what's the first thing that comes to your mind about this person?
Right.
You know, that creates a newsworthy, in my mind, newsworthy moment, you know, like something that it's just that, you know, it's getting details from family members about that person, and then taking that information and kind of putting it into this process of actually crafting the story.
Okay.
So that's step one, is writing about your own family member from the perspective of the people who knew them best. So it's not saying like, okay, I want, you know, if you were to participate, for instance, it wouldn't be, this is how I feel about what happened with my daughter. It'd be you asking questions to other people about what they feel and how they remember them. And because we always want to keep a focus on the victim. The victim is the person we're trying to remember. And obviously, there is a place in a story for people expressing their grief. You know, it's not like we forget about that, but we want to keep the stories as positive as we can in it, which I know sounds strange because it's such a negative topic and a difficult thing to handle. But we try to focus on the positive aspects of that person. I'd be guiding people through this process of how you go about doing that, and the kind of details that we look for, and the kind of questions that we ask, and then help put the story together.
That's huge, because one of the issues that I have dealing with the media, they tend to print what they want to print. They tend to print what is going to draw people to read that particular article. And sometimes it goes as far as putting stuff in that you didn't even say. So to say that you wanted to be positive, you know, I think that's huge to me. I know, and something you had said at the beginning when you were talking about statistics, and I know that I had to confront the district attorney in my daughter's case, and I said to him, I said, listen, you need to understand, my daughter is not a statistic. My daughter is not a file. My daughter is not a docket. My daughter was a human being, and her life was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly correct people and say, "Oh, your daughter died." I said, "No, my daughter was murdered. My daughter was not sick. She was not in the hospital. Terminally ill. Her life was taken." You know, so. I applaud what you are doing. And if just very quickly, you had said three virtual trainings?
That's right. There are, let me check the dates, but they're on the sign-up sheet. So there's but you only have to choose one of the three sessions to be able to attend. And I'm trying to keep it quick. Yeah. I'm trying to keep it to the point of that they're about an hour long, these sessions. Mm-hmm. So, one is, the first week of February, I think it's February 4th. You know, I apologize that I didn't have
that's no problem
in front of me here.
Not a problem.
So it'll be an hour long session. It'll be virtual as well. Like we will meet, and there's going to be one that's during the day, like let's say, I think it's noon on a Wednesday, whatever that date is. Mm-hmm. There's going to be another one in the evening the following week, and then there's going to be one on a Saturday I think I scheduled it for 11 a.m. Okay. So that way it gives people options for different work schedules and different lives. So that way you can attend whichever one it is that you like. And you only have to attend one, and that's really the only requirement to be able to participate. There's a couple of restrictions on who can participate, minor stuff.
Right.
But that's the only requirement.
Okay.
And then of course after those sessions I encourage questions. I want people to ask more about because there's only so much that can be done in an hour long session to teach this kind of stuff. So obviously there's going to be questions coming up. So obviously I would want people to be following up and asking as many questions and ideally that I'd be mentoring some writers who choose to go forward to be our writers in the future, and to continue being paid and to build a marketable skill and to help other families. Kimberly, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but you and I have talked about how it has been very helpful for your own process.
Absolutely.
By doing these stories about other families.
And we're going to, and before Kim does that, mm-hmm. I also want to make it known that not only is Kim doing things to help people get through their grief and what have you, but Kim is an author. And she has,
yes.
How many books you have?
One, and I'm working on another.
She has one book, and she's working on another book, and it's just an awesome thing that we can turn something so horrific, something so negative, into something so positive, and to help others get mm-hmm. through. Go ahead, Kim, why don't you tell us about it?
So, yeah, writing helps me. It helps me get through my day, and because I can control it. Mm-hmm. I can control my emotions around writing. And I've been writing forever. My mom gave me my first book mm-hmm. back that I gave her.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. I was like, wow. So I've been writing since I was like between four and five.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it helps us control our emotions, who we are. It takes us to a fantasy level. Mm-hmm. You can dictate the outcome of it.
That's right. That's right. That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. We look at it. That's good. We
one thing that I do want to, Sarah, if I could point something out as part of this program, Kimberly is also offering herself up to be. I can answer so many questions. You know, mm-hmm. I can answer mm-hmm. about how to do interviews. I can answer about how to put the story together. I can answer about editing. I can answer about all kinds of different things. There are things that I cannot answer that go into this process. And Kimberly has offered to help the participants of this program as well be available to ask questions from a different that I cannot answer.
Right, from their perspective.
So I appreciate, mm-hmm. exactly. So I appreciate that because I would not be able to do this without having Kimberly
And some people
around.
May not be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
They really
exactly. may not.
And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be emotional.
I thank him because I know even going through the loss of my daughter, there's many times that I have shed tears. There's many times where I have said, you know, I call Kim and I say, listen, I can't do it no more. And she has been right there to encourage me to continue to push forward. There's times I wanted to let POMC go. And people say, no, we need you, you mm-hmm. know. But little do they know is that I need them as much as they may need me. I didn't go to counseling, but everybody in our group is my counselor. So I just want to say to you both that I think this is an awesome, awesome project. I think the timing is perfect. One of the things that I wanted to state, because I know you guys are talking about writing, is we push journaling. We believe firmly that journaling is something that really helps you release that negativity, that emotional feeling, and even the good times. You know, some, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I remember us going out to dinner, or I remember us going to a party, or just sitting down watching TV. There's a lot of things about my daughter that puts a smile on my face. And I think that's important. We always look at the negative, but there's positive things there too. And I encourage people to go on Facebook or go on Instagram, look at their page, see what you may find. You may find something that just cracks you up, you know, and you say, I remember that Christmas dinner. I remember that birthday party. Even though it's hard, even though it's something we dread, there's good things there as well. So, Albert and Kim, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. I truly, truly appreciate you coming on today and explaining this opportunity to get involved with the Philadelphia Obituary Project. And I think we need more like this. And I hope this is not the last time that you come on. We definitely want to hear the progress and how things are going. I will be also airing this on Facebook as well, Instagram. I just think this is great because so many people are looking for an outlet. Mm-hmm. So many people are looking for a way to relieve that stress, that negativity. So I think this is a beautiful thing. But we are going to come back together here real soon, maybe in about a month or so, and see how things are going. And you said, Albert, this program will start when?
I believe the first training session was February 3rd.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a couple of 2 weeks in the beginning of February, the training, and then we will not have any deadlines. That's one that's key. So
okay.
That is, attend a training session, you do whatever you got to do. It takes as much time as you need. Okay. And we are here to publish it and edit it whenever you're ready.
All right. From a pathway to healing, here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio, we thank Philadelphia Obituary Project, Albert Stumm, Kim Kamara for being on the show today. Have a blessed day. Look out for yourself. Look out for each other. And God bless.
I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do.